Amen. It's a joy to be in camp meeting this morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn with me over to 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm gonna be quick this morning. I like it when I know my assignment. But it's good to be in the Lord's house. Good to see some of my sheep and some of my former sheep. I don't count the goats. The Lord doesn't. Why should I?
You're right.
But you'll get that a little bit maybe after a while there. But it's a joy to be in this place this morning. I'm going to put in verse 8 of 2 Kings 2. There's never been a man that's had an entrance nor an exit like Elijah. It says, and Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by the whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had all spent in the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word this morning. I'll say to you this morning, in the passage I've read in your hearing, the worker was gone, but the work remained. The man was gone, but the message remained, and the mantle remained. We're living in a day and in an hour where we have more men, where we have more workers, but we have less message and we have fewer mantles than ever before. I'd remind you this morning, the mantle here in the Word of God represents the office of the prophet, but beyond that it represents the authority and the assignment of the prophet. And for a moment, I want to preach on what do you do with the mantle? Now, I realize this morning the thought may be geared more to the men of God that are here, but you ought to pray your man of God get a hold of the mantle of God and use it for God's honor and God's glory. What do you do with a mantle? Amen. I want to say, first of all, this morning, you don't forget who wore it before you. Amen. Now, I dare say I'm probably the only individual under the tabernacle this morning that has been given an assignment to follow in the steps of a man of God that pastored the same church for 60 years. But that is the assignment, and that is the lot that God has given unto me. That's the will of God for my heart and my life. And I'm very well aware that the pulpit I stand in and the pulpit I stand in this morning, that somebody's plowed before me. Somebody's sowed before me. Somebody's come through here before me or before you. And when you and I come to the manor, we ought not ever forget somebody it before us. And as the mantle of God falls before Elisha, you notice in the text that he rends his garments in two pieces. He does it out of a sense of humility. He's mindful that he's not worthy, that he's not worthy to pick up that mantle. He's not worthy to stand in that place. And I'm not worthy either, and you're not worthy either. And somebody's come through here before you and before me. You may say, well, I started the church. I'm pastoring. The only reason you can start a church is because somebody preached to you, prayed to you. Somebody's done been here long before you and long before me. Oh my. But this rending of Elisha's garments not only was an act of humility, it was an act of honor. He wanted to honor the one who wore the mantle before him. I want to say to you, Elisha never sought to replace or overshadow or be Elijah. He just sought to be Elisha. He just sought to do what God would have him to do. Now, I'm well aware this morning that Elisha is going to perform twice as many miracles as Elijah. You can go home, you can do the counting, you can do the math, and that is so. But it was never Elisha's goal. It was never his purpose in life to do more, to be Elijah. No, he just wanted to honor God and honor the man of God that came before him. And I would remind you, only one more time in the Old Testament, only one more time after his death, that is, will we read of Elisha. But the Old Testament ends with the word about Elijah. And God promises that one will come in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And John the Baptist came on the scene in the spirit and the power of Elijah. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, it was Elijah that showed up. And when James holds up someone as an example of prayer, he held up Elijah. And all the way over there in Revelation, you may have it all figured out, but one of those two witnesses is an awful lot like Elijah. Oh my, but you know what Elisha wanted to be? He just wanted to be one that would honor the one that had gone before him. He wanted to be one that would honor the God that had called his forefather, that had called his father in the ministry. Oh my, Elisha wants to stay real close to Elijah. I want to tell you, do you well this morning, whether you're young or old. Whether you're young or old, to get around a dear man of God and stay close to the man of God. And if you'll read these early verses in the chapter, everywhere Elijah went, Elijah was right there. Elisha would not be deterred. No. He wanted to stay close to the man of God. Now you hear me this morning. If you keep yourself at a distance from the man of God, you go to believe in dumb stuff about God. Oh yeah. These sons of the prophets, they keep themselves at a distance from the man of God. These sons of the prophets were prophets without a mantle. They were prophets without a message. Oh my. They kept themselves at a distance from the man of God. You go to doing that, you're going to pull a stupid every time. Because they say, let's go looking. Maybe, perchance, God has set your master down on top of a hill somewhere, or set your master over in a valley or in a ditch somewhere. I'm telling you this morning, if you forget who wore the mantle before you, if you forget who came through here before you and for me, if you keep yourself at a distance, you'll go to believing dumb stuff about God and about the man of God. In fact, while I'm right there, you keep yourself at a distance from the man of God, you're liable to go to believing dumb stuff about a lot of things. Maybe camp meeting. That it's just not worth it. That all that money and all that expense ain't worth it. And it'd be good to have vacation Bible school during the weeks of camp meeting, or take a vacay. Hey, you go to keeping yourself at a distance from the man of God, you'll believe stupid stuff about a lot of stuff. How come Elisha didn't believe any of that? He stayed right in step with the man of God. He never forgot who wore the mantle before him. Number two. What do you do with a mantle? You don't leave it on the ground. You don't leave it on the ground. Elijah is snatched out of here. Elijah gets to go home unto the Lord and be with glory. But the mantle falls before Elisha. Now Elijah's gone. As I said, the man's gone. But the message remains. The worker's gone, but the work remains. And even though Elijah had been taken off the scene, oh my, the ministry of God and the work of God and the need for somebody to wear a mantle, the need for somebody to be a mouthpiece for God ever remained. So Elisha wasn't going to leave the mantle on the ground. It was too sacred. God had done too much with it. God had done too much with that man that it wore it before him. Now the mantle, again, I remind you, represents the authority. It represents the authority of God. And I know what day and hour we're living in. I know we're living in a day and hour when everybody wants to trample down on the authority of God and the authority of the Word of God and the authority of the church and the authority of the man of God. But oh my, you know what our biggest problem is this morning? It's not the world out yonder. It's that there's some mantles laying on the ground somewhere and somebody needs to step up and pick up the mantle. One more time. Oh my, God uses men. And God puts authority on men to preach the gospel and to carry forth the work of God through the church of God in the day and hour in which we find ourselves. Thank God for every woman. But God puts authority on a man. That'll help a lot. That'll sure enough help even you voting in the days ahead. While I'm there, bless God, this hand won't ever vote for Trump either. Why did Elisha pick up that mantle? He'd see, why did he rend them garments? Why did he pick up? He'd seen God do too much. He'd seen God do too much with that man that wore it in front of him. He'd seen God too much with that man himself. He knew a generation was a-coming on that needed to see somebody wearing the mantle and bearing the gospel and bearing the truth of the Word of God. Hey, were you here Monday night? When well over, I believe, looked like it from where I sat, might near half of the people underneath this tabernacle were people 30 years of age and under. Hey, this generation doesn't need less of this. They need more of this. And they need a man of God in the pulpit wearing the mantle of God. What do you do with a mantle? You don't leave it. You don't leave it on the ground. You don't leave it on the ground. Number three. You don't put it on a shelf. Don't you know that is tempting for Elisha to take that precious mantle and stick it up on the shelf behind glass, if you please? Oh my. And worship the mantle? Oh no, 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 no. He's not going to leave it on the ground for men to trample on. He ain't going to stick it on a shelf for it to gather dust. He's going to bear up and wear the mantle that God might work one more time. Oh my. He's not going to build a shrine to it. He's not going to display it. Bless God, he's going to pick it up. He's going to wear it. He's going to use it. Because guess what? Elisha had some rivers he's going to have to cross too. He'd seen the man of God with the mantle splat the river and the river back up. But Elisha had some rivers to cross himself. In fact, he had a river to cross. You listen to me. He had a river to cross that Elijah never had to cross. He had to cross and face a river Elijah never had to face. Because Elijah gets snatched out of here and doesn't have to face death. But Elijah's going to have to face it. Hey, it's 2016. The truth is, you and I are facing some things those in front of us have never had to face before. You know what you and I need to do? We need to peel our ears back, if you please. We need to remember those that have plowed before us. But we need to pick up the mantle and use it. Hey, stop worshiping old-time religion and go to practicing it. I didn't ask to preach, but I'm going to preach since I've been asked. Oh my. Hey, instead of sitting around talking about the good old days, hey, pick up the mantle and God can give you and I some good new old days. Oh my. You didn't put it on the shelf. Oh, no, 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 he doesn't. He doesn't put it somewhere to collect dust. No, he picks it up that he might use it. Right quick and I'm done. I said it's going to be quick. What do you do with a mantle? You never forget that power's not in the mantle, but it's in the God of the mantle. Power's not in the mantle. Hey, that was a piece of cloth. Is a piece of cloth on a holy man of God? Filled with God. Oh my, Elisha knew power rested upon Elijah because of the God of heaven that rested upon Elijah, symbolized in the mantle. Now notice, Elisha says, where's the Lord God of Elijah? Hey, he's not asking where Elijah is. He knows. He knows. In fact, he knows Elijah's already where he's trying to get. He knows Elijah's already where he wants to get. Oh my, he's saying, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He wants to see God move on his life like God moved on Elijah's life. He wants to see God come and move. Now, by the way, back up there when he asked about the double portion, he ain't asking. He's not asking for an earthly inheritance. I remind you, Elijah wasn't no pauper. He was supplying 12 yoke oxen that day when Elijah came walking down the road. No! He's not asking for something money buys. He's not asking for something you get from mama. He's not asking for something you get from daddy. He's asking for something that you get for God. And he says, where's the Lord God of Elijah? He's saying, I want to see God come. I want to see God move. I want to see God work in my life, in my day, in my family, just like he did in the man of God that was before me. In fact, the truth is this morning, this passage, it's not about Elijah and it's not about Elisha. It's about God. It's about the God of glory that chooses, oh Lord, that chooses to come and use feeble men like you, like me, like Elijah. like Elisha, like you, like me, but oh my, he's such a mighty God. He can take folks like us and use us for his honor and use us for his glory. And he's still the same God I'd reminded this morning. He's not changed. Oh my, God never, you listening? God never asked Elisha to be Elijah. As one man said, God doesn't paint carbon copies. He just paints originals. God didn't expect him to be Elijah. God just expected him to be him and to honor the mantle and the God of the mantle that came upon him. Now I know everybody gets all focused on this, the double portion stuff, and I got a whole message on that. I'd remind you, it's the firstborn son who gets the double portion. It's the firstborn son who gets the double portion. He was asking for the rights and the privilege and the anointing and the power of a firstborn son. Hey, you're looking at a firstborn son. Because you're looking at somebody, I can't speak for you, but you're looking at somebody that's heir and joint heirs with the Lord of glory himself, and there's some things you and I can ask for. There's some things you and I can believe if you and I'll just ask and trust God. I mean, you can stand around and want a goat if you want to. You can get a fatty calf if you'll just ask. I can't tell where any of the sons of the prophet ask for a double portion. And they didn't get none either. For a lot of reasons. Oh my. No, Elisha didn't want to be Elijah. He just wanted what Elijah had. He just wanted to see the power of God in his life as he saw it in the life of Elijah. Now right quick and I'm done. Here in the Old Testament is a prelude, is a type, is a picture of the ascension of the Son and the descension of the Spirit of God. Because I remind you, at his ascension, the Master departed. But 10 days later, the Spirit of God, oh my, the Spirit of God descended. It's pictured right here. Who got that Spirit that day on the day of Pentecost? Not that crowd that is scattered. I mean, you do remember there's well over 500 that saw him. That's like them sons of the prophet on the other side of the river. But for God's little young'uns huddled up in that room, for God's little young'uns running to wait, oh my, the mantle of God's Holy Ghost power fell, oh my, in the day and hour in which you and I find ourselves. God, help us to know what to do with the mantle. Thank God for those that have worn it. Thank God for those that have come through here preaching. Oh my, but day and hour, and you and I need to stand up and preach one more time. In the Spirit and in the power of Elijah and Elisha. Oh my. We don't need another Elijah. I know that sometimes gets preached. We don't need another Elisha. God ain't limited to personalities of men. Oh, we just need some men that'll be like Elisha and tear their pride, tear their reputation, lay down their stinking rotten attitude about themselves and be able to pick up the mantle of God and be used and anointed of the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, we don't need another Pentecost. We just need the power of the one we've already had. What will you do with the mantle. That's a message, preacher.